Hello, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the subject of truth today. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And thank you all so much for joining in today. We'll start with our morning prayer.
It comes to read this section of pages 79 and 80. From Divinity Course in General Collectanea. All is mind, and mind is God, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient good. God is my mind. Divine mind expresses every function of my body. No morbid nor torpid secretions can lodge in any part of my body. Nothing can obstruct the channels of truth. No mortal or human opinions or theories can produce fear in my consciousness. The bowels of mercy are free and cooperate action daily because good is the cause of all action, the same yesterday, today, and forever. No illusion of fear can produce any abnormal manifestation on or off your functional action, since God governs all that He has made, and there is nothing made that is He did not make. Truth is an alternative to that entire system. Love is the only laxative and frees us from all bondage. No self-righteousness, no self-will, no self-fear, no fear of self. I live in God, good, the eternal consciousness of every day, every moment. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Karen with the watching point.
Watch number 283. Watch lest you accept the action of treatment as being truth harmonizing matter, instead of being truth freeing and spiritualizing thought from the false claims of matter. In science, we learn that the seeming disease on the body is as emphatically mental as is its cause in the human mind. In class, Mrs. Eddy once said, quote, "Now, what of those who make a claim such as this? Declaring the truth harmonizes matter, that truth will heal matter, or in any way making matter a reality to be healed. If we admit there is matter, then we must admit all the causes and effects, all the beliefs. There is no other way. Then never admit matter. Never for one moment admit a claim of anything to harmonize."
Thank you. Right, comments?
Well, I think many of us have said many times, at least, me, but I've heard it by many, that coming here to Plainfield, if you didn't get it already, you get it here, the truth that we are never healing matter or the body or a relationship or any other thing that's going on. It's never the condition that needs healing. It's all thought. And that's where the truth has to be claimed and affirmed, not thinking of the body or directing it to any function of the body or anything like that. And that's what coming here has helped me understand.
Thank you. And, you know, Mrs. Eddy has said in her article on body that the wrong thinking, I mean, once you determine you've been fearful or negative or hateful or whatever it is, that is no more true than the so-called physical evidence of it. It's all rolled into one, which is mortal mind. And it's why we declare daily and often that we have the mind of Christ. God is mind. God is my mind. God is the only pure and perfect mind. And then, you know, to just think about that and to think, today's the day I'm going to only accept messages from the Father. He's the one who's speaking to me. He will tell me all I need to know about any situation. He is my mind, and there can be no other thoughts or suggestions or temptations that try me when you know that God is your mind, and stay with it throughout the day. And that's why we're counseled to pray more than once during the day, many times during the day, at least three times, because we're bombarded with all the other so-called evidence or beliefs about this existence. And it's also why when we study and we read our textbook and prose works and the Bible, that we approach it with great reverence and awe, that this is the Word of God. This is the truth about us. This is the truth that will annihilate all the lies that the Adam dream seems to put forth. So it's a wonderful thing to do that. It puts you in line to receive those truths. As we said in our watch last night from the hymn, Oh, do not bar my mind. So, all right. Anyone else on that?
Well, because truth is changeless, right? The same yesterday, today, and forever. So you're not changing anything.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's why you don't run and always constantly check matter or check anything like that. Mm-hmm. Because right away, then you're identifying that you're immortal and you've got a matter body that needs to be changed.
Well, yeah, I guess if the goal was to harmonize matter, I guess Jesus could have done that. He wouldn't have ascended. He'd still be here. That obviously wasn't the goal.
It's interesting.
Okay, Bruce. Yeah,
Mrs. Eddy says in her published works that, the physical healing was the bugle call and that the healing of sin was the primary purpose. So I think what she was saying there was that sometimes people have some what they call a physical healing, and they go off on their way and they're no better morally or spiritually. And that's really not a healing at all. But the whole idea is to, recognize the mind of Christ is ours, as you said earlier. And so if you've had a healing, a physical healing, that's wonderful. Next question is, do you love more? Are you more faithful to truth? Have you gotten closer to God? Those are the important points.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Which is why we have to always go from effect to cause. When something good happens, ask yourself, why? How did this happen? Get to the cause. If you're not curious enough to get to the cause, you're going to miss it. And what a shame to miss the most important part.
Which is God, the only cause and creator. Anyone else?
Well, and Jesus said, go and sin no more. If you're not doing this work, you can't abide by that. You're just getting, quote, better so that you can go back into your nonsense. And what good is that?
Yeah.
And the sin is that saying there's something else when God is all.
Yes, thank you. And then you're disobeying the first commandment, and then you're going down a path that will lead you nowhere fast. All right, Jeremy, the...
in matter, right? So Mrs. Eddy sort of says the belief and the believer are the same thing. So knowing that we have that one mind is where we have to stay. And it's really hard to know that there's no matter. But if you take it a step further and know that truth is doing that, and mind is doing it, and God is doing it, it's not an intellectual thing. So you got to get your little self out of the way and see that one selfhood. And boy, is it a wonderful challenge.
It definitely is. And I know just the less you think about it, the less you think about matter in any kind of way, the better off you are. You know, so many people, well, they sit around trying to figure out how they can get rid of the belief that there's matter. Well, that only kind of builds it all up.
Yeah.
So get out of yourself and into God. And pretty soon you'll forget it, and you'll see God everywhere. So, because he is everywhere. All right, Jeremy, the golden text.
John, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Now, this is such a wonderful statement, and we've quoted a lot, and it's on the walls of our church many times. But to think about that, whatever problem you have, there's a truth about that problem, whatever it is. And if you know that truth, not just say it or hope it'll work, but get where you know, because as I said earlier, our textbook, our Bible, these books are the Word of God. This is the truth about you. This is the truth with a capital T. You have a right to know it. It's within you to know it, because God created you to know his Word. So as you know that truth, it will free you up, and that belief, that false belief you've been entertaining, will just pop away, disappear. Or as Mrs. Eddy says, diminish until it finally disappears.
And we're built with the Word, and that's why it resonates with us when we hear it.
Yes.
And how encouraging. Ye shall know the truth. I mean, you will.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Yes. Right. And one of the articles that Carrie sent, it says too that this isn't necessarily a future thing. It's now. It's now you can know the truth. It's future too, but it's now. You don't have to wait. The truth is true. And it's now.
Someone
the truth.
Someone once told me that the truth that makes you free is the truth that you are free already.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in the lesson, this favorite statement by Mrs. Eddy, the eternal truth destroys what mortals seem to have learned from error, and man's real existence as a child of God comes to light. So the eternal truth, whatever you seem to have learned from error, don't go around thinking about it. Know the truth about it and let it go. Sometimes, you know, in my journal, I've written things that I have seemed to have learned from error, and then the truth about it. And then I focus on the truth about it till the left side of the page just disappears. It's not true. So, okay. Now, the responsive reading. I love this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And again, last night in our watch was Imogen, who found the readings from Watches, Prayers, and Arguments, which is on the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord cannot be made flexible. In contradistinction, so-called material to so-called material law, spiritual law is inflexible. It is never two-sided, nor can it be made to conform to human desire or will. It is the law of divine principle, the law of absolute truth, the law of immutable love, the law of eternal life. There is no physical or moral ill too insidious or too deeply rooted to be made to yield to this immutable law of God good. There can be no law decreeing a crippled condition, mental, physical, or financial. You are liberated by divine love from every false claim of the flesh. The law of spirit is supreme. It dominates the flesh. And you are God's own child. never born of the flesh nor subject to it. Divine love maintains man forever at the point of completeness, preserves his every faculty and his individuality, guides each separate idea in continuous unfoldment of the infinite grandeur of spiritual creation. And that is a beautiful treatment on this law of God, the law of truth. It's like it's a rock. It never changes. It's wonderful. And it's yours. It's for everybody. Doesn't matter what your problem is. And I love in the lesson too where it says, let's see if I can find it. Yes. Truth is an alterative in the entire system and can make it every whit whole. And that word whit means every little thing. Okay? Every little thing. You'll be made absolutely perfect. And you are. It's as we've talked about earlier, it's not a matter of making. You already are. It's just a matter of having the eyes to see it. So every whit, whatever your trouble is, how big or small, God will make you whole. Just declare this truth for yourself. So then think of all the things that the law does. Well, one of it is converting the soul. And in an article also sent by Carrie, converting the soul, a change from the service of the world to the service of God. Now, isn't that wonderful? And isn't that what we all want? It's a change of base. Your whole being gets changed from the belief, yes, of matter, as we started out with. The matter is what we look at and study and pinch and poke, and to this conversion and serving God. And in serving God, you forget yourself. And matter just gets less and less important. As we talked about last year, how Florence Nightingale, all the things she did because she was in the service of God, she forgot her body. And she admitted to that. And so, and then the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You think you're not so smart? Well, study the word of God and you'll become a very wise, knowledgeable and smart idea of him. And the statutes of the Lord are right, and they rejoice the heart. You're feeling sad about anything, study God's law. It'll make you feel really good and happy. And then the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That purity, the wholeness, the oneness of purpose will enable you to see clearly the truth. You won't be boggled down by this, that, and the next thing. It will enlighten your eyes.
And when we obey the commandment of God, guess what? We start to understand things better. We see things more clearly.
And you won't be mixed up by politics either, because you'll see clearly what's going on and you'll see through the pretenses. You'll just know. You will just know who's who and what's what. You will know. So, and then the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then they're more important than anything else. And the thing is, they're available to anybody. You don't need money to have it. So it doesn't matter where you live or what your financial condition is. These laws are available to you if you take advantage of it. And you can.
And that's because they can't be purchased.
No, they can't. The deep desire, and it will lift you out of any sense of poverty or sickness or whatever else you're experiencing. You will be lifted out of it. Why? Because right thought must manifest itself, Mrs. Eddy says. And then Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. What does that mean?
If you've been following these all along, you're going to naturally get the intuition, yay or nay, about a direction to go.
Thank you. That's exactly right. You'll be warned.
I mean, this is the way God guides us, right? We follow him and he guides us more clearly. We see which ways, as Bruce said, not to go and which ways to go.
One of the things that's most important to me anyway is making wise the simple. In other words, wisdom is not a complex item. It's not intellectually acquired. It is simple. There's this thing called spiritual intuition that speaks to you, and all we have to do is listen to it. And it's really much simpler than a lot of people would like to make.
Most definitely. And in fact, it's usually the intellectuals or those who've been overeducated, they don't get it often because they're so boggled down with all their human beliefs and their pride in thinking that they know better than everyone else, that they don't even want to think it's simple. They'd rather have their pride that they're so smart. And it really, it's an obstruction.
It's an obstruction to their having wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You're not being that expression. I mean, I love the fact that man is the expression, reflection of God. Just give it up. Give your whole being to him. Let him lead you. He never leads wrong. Never.
Thank you. And if you've spent the time taking all these truths in, thinking about these laws of God, they will speak to you. They will guide you. They'll tell you, this is the way, walk ye in it. And that's in the Bible in Proverbs. I love that, Proverbs 3. We all know it, but trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. And he will, and it will just be a gentle nudging this way or that way. This is what this law of God does for you. If you value it, you know, we meet so many people today, and they're so distracted, and they don't know the law of God, and they don't even seem to care to know about it. I think they need to spend all their time, I don't know, making money, getting ahead, studying whatever it is they think they need to study to become humanly smart.
Take care of their bodies, be beautiful.
Yeah.
Find peace and matter.
Yes. Yes. So.
Which is impossible.
It's impossible, right?
Yes. And then, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. So, Nancy, you want to give to us?
Yes. This was from Barnes Notes. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, his kindness, his compassion, his love. All nations, all people may say this, and therefore the psalm is adapted to universal praise. Especially may this be said in view of the love of God to mankind and the gift of a Savior not for any one people especially or exclusively, but for the world. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. All that God has said, his declarations, his promises, his assurances of mercy, they are the same in all lands where they are made known. And they are the same in all ages of the world. Truth is a representation of things as they are. And truth, therefore, must be ever the same. What was true in the first ages of the world is true now and will always be true. And so what God has affirmed at any one time will always remain the same in all ages and in all lands. What was truth to Abraham is truth to us. What was truth to Paul is truth to us. And what was truth to the martyrs is truth to us. And what is truth to us will be truth to all generations of the world in all lands, and will be truth forever. So there you have it.
There you have it. It's wonderful.
No arguing with that.
No. Yeah.
Well, and Christian Science explains why that is the case, doesn't it?
Yes.
The author may or may not have known that truth is God. You know, the author may have thought, well, maybe God made the truth.
Well, the truth is his word.
But the truth is God. That is one of the synonyms for God. And that's why it can never change. It's impossible for it to ever change. Because it's impossible for God to change.
And, you know, now I think there's talk now, what you can have your personal truth or something. Yeah. I don't even know what that right. means. What does that mean?
It's nonsense.
Personal truth, yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, it's just that motto of Satanists, do what thou wilt. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. They just want to do what they want to do.
Yeah. And see, this
make excuses for it.
And that's twisting the truth around to make it, yeah, you're convenient, whatever's convenient to what you happen to want to do.
Like you read, it's not flexible.
No. Mm-hmm. No. All right, Chardell.
This is called The Permanence of Truth, found on our website by Irving C. Tomlinson, and it's in a 1912 sentinel. We should be increasingly grateful that Christian Science fixes our thought upon the permanence of all that is good and real. Christian Science shows us that the changeable is not ordained by God and not in harmony with his law. The Bible says of God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thus, Christian Science enables us to understand that in the science of man's being, God is the eternal principle. It declares that life, truth, and love have no beginning, no ending, and are more permanent than the hills or the stars of heaven. This revelation given to us through Mrs. Eddy affirms that health is not a changing condition, but a permanent fact of being, sustained by the law of God. So too, peace and joy are not to be thought of as fleeting, but as something that endureth. It is to understand that peace belongs to us every day and every hour, and that we cannot be separated from this peace of which Christ Jesus said, quote, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The way to a realization of the ever presence of truth is simple. It is to hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionably to their occupancy of your thought. That's Science and Health, 261. It is to know that all which is changing and therefore unlike truth can be nothing but fiction. It is to be loyal to the best one knows, and in honestly doing that one is loyal to truth and the nothing and nothing but truth. It is to live the thought of permanence at all times, to begin with God, to help others by our right thinking and true living, and to love the spiritual, which alone is permanent, and to grow into that understanding which makes health an eternal part of our heritage and joy a fact of being.
Well, and that Irving Tomlinson, he was such a good and dear worker in Mrs. Eddy's home and knew her well. And so what he writes rings with sincerity and truth. Yes. And that peace that passeth all understanding, you know, in the lesson in the Bible, it talks about be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And that be careful for nothing means don't be anxious about anything. Don't be worried. Don't be stressed out. But instead, gives you a recipe to get rid of those feelings. And what is that? To express thanksgiving, praise, pray to God, make your requests known to Him. But get out of that worry mode.
It's a sin against God.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a belief that there's a power that could oppose God. And we do ourselves in by allowing ourselves to worry.
You know what I tell some people sometimes? Worry is like getting in your rocking chair and trying to go to down to Plainfield or your to wherever you want to go. It doesn't work.
Well, it certainly, when you think about it, what good does it do? It doesn't do you good. It doesn't do the situation good. Mm-hmm. So please work on stopping it. I know sometimes it's like a runaway horse. You just start predicting all these terrible things that are going to happen, and it can be a habit. But the only habit we should have is the habitual desire to be always good or something like that from the chapter on prayer.
Yeah, that's unceasing prayer.
Yes, habitual desire to be always good. So that's your habit. So train yourself, instead of worrying, to know the truth with a capital T. Praise God. Thank God for all His past blessings. Know He's with you now. He'll be with you tomorrow and forever. Don't let it get a hold on you. And then also in that Philippians, finally, brethren, whatsoever true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's also what is being read, to hold thoughts steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true. It's a discipline, especially if you've allowed your thought to go every which way. You got to rein it in. Get back to what the truth is. I make a list of those things. Are you thinking about the true things, the honest things, the just, the pure, the lovely? That's which is of good report.
Because if you can discipline yourself to do this, you won't have time to worry about anything.
Yeah, that's it. What percentage of your day are you not doing this?
Yeah. And Carpenter calls
Mark here at Plainfield that the more you do it, the more the other becomes a red flag to you. So all of a sudden you see, was I just worrying? So that's a good thing.
Yes.
I think commit to obey God. I mean, it's always, where did I go wrong? Okay, I'm back. I'm obeying Him. I'm not denying Him, not for a moment.
Thank you. Because when you do the other, you are denying Him.
Yeah.
And you will suffer for it. You'll feel really lousy. Mm-hmm. I know, I've done it. It's not much fun.
No, it doesn't feel good.
No. And then after a while, if you continue to do it, pretty soon your body's beginning to kick on you. Exactly. So just get it, catch it early. Don't go down that path. It's much better. And if you have gone down that path and you have a pile of stuff to meet, then you just start out in the morning doing the best you can. Do the best you can, and God will lead the way to light. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, He directs our paths. Imperfect mortals grasp the ultimate of spiritual perfection slowly, but to begin aright and to continue the strife of demonstrating, the great problem of being is doing much. So don't ever feel discouraged or like you let too much go. Know that in the morning, it's fresh new morning. You begin aright. You kick out all those thoughts. And right now, you know the truth. And right now, this truth will make you free. And stay faithful to that.
I really appreciated that article that was put up on the website by Kimball, declaring what is true. Because that's sort of the other part of this, is that, you know, we know the truth, but then animal magnetism comes and says, well, I don't know it enough, or I've been in the CS culture for too long, I've got too much baggage built up, or, you know, all those things that come up and say that this is, you know, it tries to discourage us or say that we can't do it or don't know enough or whatever. And I found that really helpful, of just saying, you know, when this stuff comes to you, that you have to declare what's true. And you have to say, you know, I'm not discouraged. I do realize the truth. I do have confidence in it.
Thank you. Yeah. And Kimball, too, he was a wonderful worker and warrior for God. He lectured to thousands and thousands of people and went all over the world. He was very close to Mrs. Eddy. So people who have come through a lot, their words have great meaning. Now, in a really good article, another article Carrie sent called The Christian's Bank, it speaks about this passage I just read in Philippians about thinking about what's true and honest and pure. And it's something that Mrs. Evans had taught us too, that we have a bank account with God. So how much is in your bank account? Now, if you've read your lesson in the morning, but then you've spent all day worrying, and then another problem comes up, your bank account with God's pretty empty, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you have been working with all the good thoughts, then your bank account is quite full, and you can draw on that bank account. It says, suppose a man were to go to a bank and demand $100, and the paying teller found he had no account with the bank. What should the teller do? Refuse the demand? Yes. And why? Because the man was demanding something for nothing. And then it goes on that we have to, thousands have learned and thousands are learning that in order to have their demand honored at the Christian's bank, first they must establish their credit. All right? And we should educate ourselves to think only the things that are good and pure and just. Now, you know this is true. And so, what?
I was just thinking, if you don't have credit, then you're going to have to get someone to co-sign for you. And that's where the practitioner comes in.
Yeah. You know, maybe that works for a while, but it's not going to work forever. Because everyone's
going to know the truth yourself.
And I need some proof.
Collateral. Yeah, some collateral. I like that.
Or some that there's going to be credit, right?
That's right.
So the practitioner is going to make the same demand on you that God is.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the end.
Wasn't that the story of the virgins too?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Which is a wonderful.
Exactly.
And this is Eddie addresses it.
The oil in your container is like having money in the bank, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing. Yeah. Same concept.
I think it's in Mrs. Eddy's writings that she says that God will help those who do their own part. In other words, we do have a part to do. So it's not a get out of jail free card.
Yes. Now, the wonderful story about dear Elijah, it's quite a story, right?
Yes.
And the confidence he had in God. And in reading, you know, some commentaries about it, it's interesting. It makes a point of saying Elijah declared that first
let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. What he did, he didn't just decide, oh, gee, I'm going to make this huge thing happen. Won't that be great? He had to have been directed to do that by God, right? Yes. God told him to do that. Mm-hmm. So he made it clear to everybody, this is God telling me to do it, and I'm his servant, therefore I obey him. Now, they had been in 3.5 years of drought. And not just a little drought, it was a big drought. Ahab was pretty concerned about the whole thing. I mean, the cattle were dying, everything was just dust, the crops. And so Ahab, what does he say? Are you the one that troubleth Israel? Right.
It was yours.
Always remember that Era is going to try to turn the lie on you. Unless you're really at peace with God, it might seem to ruffle you a little bit. But Elijah knew that was a darn lie. He also knew that God didn't create the drought. It was their turning away from the true and one God, their Baal worshiping that was going on, that seemed to have created these terrible conditions. And so in order to get things right, he was going to show them who was the real God. And he tells them, you all come near to me, okay? Because, of course, they tried all day. And one of the commentaries brings out they were really dedicated to Baal. They really thought he was the right God, or she or whoever it was, right gods, and they were going to give it their all. So they're dancing and whooping up around, and nothing happens.
Elijah mocked them too.
Yes, he does.
He tells them, well, maybe he's sleeping, or maybe he's busy. Get a little louder, maybe.
I know.
Maybe he can't hear you.
I know. That's right. And one of the commentaries said when Elijah said maybe he's busy, he said maybe he's gone to the bathroom, which was just showing how mocking he really was at the whole thing. So
they tried harder too when he said that.
Yes. So he tells him to come on near to me, come on, and he says that. So I want to show you, I'm not up to any magic tricks here. And he pours all this water on the altar, right? Just keeps pouring on the
water. Three times they
did. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And he prays and it
looks up the water.
Yep. But he also asks them, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, follow him. And now Spurgeon, he did a whole lecture on this because he thought it was so important. And in a way it is. And Lawrence and I were talking. He's quite prolific. He has a lot to say about things. And so in this sermon, and he's speaking to us today, how long are you going to halt between two opinions?
Right.
How long are you going to mix mammon and the matter world with, okay, I'll go to church today, or I'll read the lesson and I'll do some things, you know, for God, but then I'm going to just enjoy the pleasures of matter. How long? How much is it going to take? How much in your own life is it going to take? Because you can have so many things happen and then you're still enticed to go back to your old ways. And I'm not here to judge anybody or even to tell you what the old ways are. You know in your heart what you do is in line with the Father and what is not in line with the Father. You know that. You know right from wrong. So how long are you going to halt? And Spurgeon goes on, are you going to be 60? Are you going to be 70? Are you going to be 80? You're going to keep doing this? And he says, those people who want to serve Baal, go do it for heaven's sakes, but do not be a hypocritic. Do not be a hypocrite about this. Be what you are, but don't try to do both or think you can hide and get away from it. This is often the reason your results aren't as good as they could be, because you're halting between two opinions. So he makes a good point, does it for several pages. But then, you know, then he says, now let's get on with it. Let's realize who is the God And it is a wonderful story, true story. And then what happens after that? The rain comes, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is true for our nation and all nations as well. How long are we going to halt between two opinions? How many tragedies does the United States of America have to have? Mm. How many school shootings? How many people have to die over this? How many of these earthquakes, floods? How long? And then what is the answer? Gun control. Oh, it's climate problems. What in the world? And this is where, as a scientist and as one who has the truth in your heart, you should see all this clearly, what the problem is. Guns have always been accessible to people. It wasn't until we ruled prayer out of schools and a lot of other very stupid things we did that we started to have more and more and more problems. So how long? And this is nationwide, as not nationwide, but worldwide, as Florence tells me. It's all over the world. It's not just America. It's in our face here. But it's everywhere. And so what do we do? We work to neutralize this seeming drift.
Demonstrations. Yeah. We need more live demonstrations.
We need
back.
Yes.
To one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been many, and that's the thing. There are many healings that go on, and people still, they shrug it off. It's a coincidence. It's, you know, one of these things. And that's why when in the lesson, in Christian Science, a denial of truth is fatal. While a just acknowledgement of truth and of what it has done for us is an effectual help. What does that mean?
You better not deny God. You just follow him.
Thank you. Craig?
Every opportunity you give God the glory.
Every opportunity you give God the glory. Every good thing you see, every time you've had something good happen to your life, you say, this is God working in my life. If you just say, oh, you know, well, it was just a coincidence or what happened anyway, or even ignore it, not even give thanks for it, you are denying the truth that is working, and it is fatal. Why? Why? Because it leads you down this path where you don't have any faith. You don't believe in anything. You haven't acknowledged God the way you should. That's why. It's not that anybody has put a gun to your head, but you've put a gun to your own head. While a just acknowledgement of truth and of what it has done for us is an effectual help. If pride, superstition, or any error prevents the honest recognition of benefits received, this will be a hindrance to the recovery of the sick and the success of the student.
Mm-hmm. All good
Very
is from
important.
Him.
Go ahead, Florence. What?
Well, I said all good is from God. We must know
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we
I've
should
also
be...
been a little bit more. Oh, excuse me.
Go ahead.
I've also been a little bit more bold in no matter who's around me, that whatever good has just happened, I acknowledge, thank you, God. I don't care who's standing there. I will just acknowledge that to me, it's God operating. This is not a coincidence that just happened, a parking lot we just found, or something. So I've been more vocal about it. Not stubborn, but just, you know, they have to know that it's God that just did what we're experiencing, this good that just happened. I acknowledge it's from God. And we should all do that, but at least I'm being more vocal about it.
Thank you. And most people definitely appreciate it. You will find if you do that, they will appreciate it. If they don't, well, that's their problem. But mostly they're glad to have this acknowledgement of God, finally. Mm-hmm. Eureka.
Yeah.
So, yes. So,
could I say something?
Sure.
You know, I also put in a lot of the titles of my artwork, and my artwork anyway has a lot to do with spirituality. And there are many things, like what you quoted from Philippians, You know, this is God's work. And this is a reflection of the Great Spirit or the One Mind.
Thank you. There are many ways to do this. Mm-hmm. And the more we do it, the better life will be. Truly, for not just yourself, but for everyone. Jeremy? Okay. All right. Well, we have an article to end on now from Dear Carrie.
Yes. And this is entitled, My Son, Forget Not Thy Law, My Law. And the author is Maud Derway. And she writes, Christian Science has illumined the Bible text, My Son, Forget Not My Law, in a remarkable way for at least one individual. In the old teaching, there seemed to be little comfort in the words, but in the light of Christian Science teaching, how they glow with the radiance of healing, spiritual light. Once, when for a long period seeming difficulties continually piled one upon another, when existence seemed little else than a heartbreaking climb up a precipitous hill with no top in sight, the words, my son, recurred again and again to the writer with encouragement and healing in their wonderful meaning. My son, God's child, claimed of God. The thought was marvelous. If the child of infinite good, then what could there be to fear? Forget not my law. Which law? Why, the law of unlimited love and goodness, holding all creation in its omnipotent control, by its very wholeness, oneness, and perfection, annihilating all belief in anything unlike itself, protecting, upholding, encompassing, blessing all. A little boy who had some understanding of cause and effect as taught in Christian Science, while playing in the nursery of a child whose family were not interested in Christian Science, was heard to cough. You must get your mother to give you some cough mixture, said the grandmother of the other child. Oh, no, said the boy quietly. We believe in God. Here was exemplified an understanding of divine law. The child knew and loved God. Therefore, he could trust him and receive help in time of trouble. The woman was so touched and awakened by the child's words, uttered so simply but convincingly, that she went to the boy's mother, told her story, and asked for the loan of a copy of the Christian Science textbook. In his own way, a child of 7 had obeyed the command, My son, forget not my law. And a woman of 70 had responded and was blessed.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
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 Thank you.